In the beginning. My earliest memory is of laughter inside a waterfall of words. I'm in a half barrel that once held flour. Tree rounds act as wheels. My bare feet tease the knots of rope bored through the barrel's end. My dress covers my legs, stuck straight out. My hands grip the smooth sides of the half barrel. A Nez Perce boy with shiny hair as black as a moonless night tows the rope over his shoulder, pulling me in my makeshift wagon across the rabbled ground in front of our cabin, school, church. I lay my head back, close my eyes, feel the sun on my face, let my child belly jiggle over the rutted earth, laughter joined to theirs. Ecstasy. A sudden jolt. The wagon stops. Eyes pop open. Before us stands my father, hands on hips, elbows out, eyes black as turned earth. Absent our laughter, I can hear my mother's distant voice speaking to her Nez Perce students inside the school. Then Nez Perce voices repeating as a song. English, Nez Perce. English, Nez Perce. I let the words wash over me, as comforting as a quilt. I found no such comfort many years later at the grave digging of my mother. I was 13. I didn't know then that the healing of old wounds comes not from pushing tragic memories away, but from remembering them, filtering them through love, to transform their distinctive brand of pain. That frigid January day in 1851, I wanted to forget my mother's dying, and so much more. Then, laughter interrupted my sorrow, as the chink, chink of the shovel hit dirt. Laughter that made me wonder about my first memory. Perhaps it wasn't true that I was comforted by Nez Perce words mixed in with my mother's those years before. Maybe I didn't even hear what I thought I did. Emotions wrap around memory. We don't recall the detail in our stories. We remember the experience. Deep in the pit, pieces of ice floated in shadowed puddles. I'd slipped out of a grieving house in Brownsville, Oregon territory, leaving my brother and two sisters behind, with my father holding his head in his hands. I ought to have stayed at our cabin for my sisters and brother, comforted as an older sister should. Been a shoulder to let them cry on. We all ached from the loss. But I'd had enough of tears. The laughter came from one of the gravediggers. He stopped when I approached. A light rain pattered against his felt hat, dotting the brim. I took his sudden silence when he saw me as respect, while Mr. Osborne, the father of my one and only friend Nancy, continued to dig. I hadn't minded the sound of laughter. Mr. Osborne looked up in silence. He introduced us.
Andrew Warren, meet Eliza Spaulding.
Mr. Warren's eyebrows lifted.
But I thought, same name as her mama, Eliza Spaulding, who we're working for here.
Mr. Osborne nodded at the grave hole they dug for my mother. Mr. Warren's smile when he gazed at me from the pit was a clear drink of refreshing water that when I swallowed, soothed a throat parched from tears. I noticed his shirt had a scorch mark against the white of his collar and wondered if his mama ironed it for him or if he did it himself.
Wishing it wasn't so, Miss Spaulding. A mother's love can't be replaced, only remembered.
Thank you, sir.